I'm Ed the Sock, and this is FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network.
And now, here's Michelle Badusky, keeping it real.
It is Michelle Badusky coming to you on Kick FM Radio at the Sox FU Network. On the phone, I have Heather, who is the executive director of the YWCA here in Brandon and Meredith's Place Women's Shelter, right?
Correct, yeah. Well, Meredith's Place is our transitional housing, and Westman Women's Shelter is a shelter for domestic violence. So, yeah.
Well, and you know what? I had the honor of meeting with you in your office last year when we were talking about the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. And now we are talking about something completely different and how COVID-19 and the social distancing, self-isolation regulations are impacting not only you at the shelter and transitional housing, but the environment around intimate partner violence altogether. It must be a really trying time for you guys.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it has been very stressful, but my team has stepped up and are really taking everything in stride and doing a really wonderful job. I myself have been working from self-isolation as I returned from a holiday from Cuba, so they have been my eyes and ears, and we've been working close in contact over the phone and email in order to keep everything running as smoothly as it has been. So, yeah, I'm very proud of my staff for everything that they're doing.
Well, that's incredible. And thank you for self-isolating, because that is an issue for another podcast, but so many people aren't, and putting so many other people at risk. So thank you for doing that. And I am thrilled to hear that your staff is exceptional, because that makes all the difference.
It does. Yeah, it truly does. Without them, I'm not sure where we would be. So yeah, they've been great.
Well, that's great. So I do know that the federal government announced extra funding for centers dealing with homelessness as well as intimate partner violence and shelters. So we know that there will be some money coming. But how are you guys managing? Are you seeing an uptake in need right now?
Right now we're just about steady. Both locations are currently full. We have some coming in April that will be doing some move outs that were already prearranged. So we will have a little bit of room. The phones, sadly, have been quieter than what we expected. So we're hoping that by doing these types of interviews, and the interview I did with the Brandon Sun, is to really get the word out that the Westman Women's Shelter is not closed. We are running. We are up and functional. We have staff on hand to answer the phones as they come in. The only thing that we're not doing right now is face-to-face individual counseling sessions or support groups that we usually provide to the community. Everything else we are trying to do at the shelter and through the phone. So we are concerned that there haven't been as many calls as we were thinking, but we feel that as the situation continues to unfold, as the people are isolated in their homes, as people are losing jobs, potentially running out of resources and funds, that the stress level and anxiety levels within those homes will be increased. So we really want the Westman region to know that we are there for them and to please call. We are working very closely with all of the other shelters in Manitoba who have spaces, and we're working extremely closely to making sure that we're utilizing that space according to the COVID regulations, in order to support the communities. So, yeah.
Well, and that's one of the biggest reasons that I wanted to talk to you, because on our social media page and, all of our podcasts, we've been talking about different ways to deal with, this whole stay-at-home, save lives campaign. But we sometimes take for granted that sometimes, and for a lot of people out there, that home is not the safest place to be. And you totally touched on what I wanted to talk about was, as you know, people are kind of, you know, this is the first real week of, you know, school has been out for 4 days now. People are at home. Maybe, you know, it's only been a week or two since a job has been lost and financial stresses. But this, you know, next week is the first of the month. People are unsure how they're going to pay their rent and bills. And that uptake is what concerns me, and obviously you as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're very concerned. We're concerned that there's potential that single women and women with children may not be reaching out to us because they potentially don't have the ability to, because their abuser is in residence with them. So there is that concern as well, but we do want to get the word out that we are there for them. Our phone line is open. We are taking intakes. We are doing the additional screening that's been recommended by the provincial government. So they will get asked all those questions before they come in, so that we can make a decision as to whether we bring them directly into the shelter or if we have to opt to getting them a hotel room. But we are there. So,
That's important to know. So if someone is in crisis or concerned, what is that phone number that they can reach out?
They can call 204-727-3644. That's the direct line for the Westland Women's Shelter.
Perfect. And yeah. What I'm going to do is I want to say that again. So 204-727-3644. I will actually put that up on the video as well.
Okay, perfect.
Oh, excuse me. Because it is really important that people know that you're there. That is, you know, something I never really thought of is that with social isolation and social distancing, that access to, you know, maybe reaching out and calling isn't always there when it's 24/7 in the home with an abuser.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And, you know, I think too, what can we do as a community? And I think this is one of those things that, you know, we've talked about before. Talked about it briefly during our last interview. As a community, when we kind of know that there's something wrong, or we see someone in our community that maybe needs help and is unsure how to reach out, we can, you know, tend to reach out to them as well. But when we're all kind of isolated and separated, we might not, as a community or as neighbors or as family members, know that something's going on. Is there something that we can be doing other than, you know, sharing this information on social media and encouraging people to reach out?
Well, yeah, and that's just it. It's really be supportive. The hard thing with domestic violence or any type of abuse is everybody wants to solve everybody's problem, mm-hmm. but ultimately it is up to the person to make that decision. But I encourage everybody to be extremely supportive to anybody that they know who may be potentially being abused at this time, or that there's concern that they might. They can always reach out to us for resources to help guide them along. The RCMP is there as well. City of Brandon Police has been a wonderful resource for us in the Brandon community. We work closely with them. But just as someone being a friend of a person who potentially may be going through a abusive relationship, it's just knowing that that person is there for them if mm-hmm. needed. We do also, additionally to that phone number, we also do monitor our Facebook Messenger. So we do answer questions and concerns through there. So if anybody does have any questions, they are free to send us a message, and we will get back to them as soon as we can.
And that's good. I'll share that as well on our site and add it to this video and this podcast. So it's Westman Women's Shelter on Facebook?
Actually, it's under the YWCA Brandon on Facebook.
YWCA Brandon. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Yeah. So you know, and I think you really nailed it. I did a podcast not too long ago where we were talking about trying to understand why people stay in abusive relationships. And it was really scary when I pulled out the stats. And, you know, per capita, rural Manitoba and rural Saskatchewan has the highest per capita instances of intimate partner violence in the country. And it was scary. I did not realize that it is so prevalent in our communities, because we tend to think that, you know, this is a city problem, or, you know, we're small town and we're rural and these types of things don't happen here, but they happen more here in isolated and smaller communities. So what about the outlying communities around Brandon? Is there resources in place for transportation if necessary, or how does that work?
At this time, no. Transportation is a tough one that we've been facing since the discontinuation of the bus services. Lots of times when people have come from other communities, it's been a friend that's brought them, or a social worker, or some type of other support worker. RCMP have also brought women to us, and along with their kids. So it's just been a variety of community support. You know, we've also had phone calls from other locations like Portage, where they would like to leave their community entirely to come to somewhere totally different, so nobody knows exactly where they are, which we understand. But yeah, the transportation issue, it is a problem that we do face. All of our shelters in Manitoba face. So it is one thing that we kind of case by case try to deal with and try to figure out as things come along. So, yeah.
Well, you know, and I think that's something that we definitely need to follow up on how we can find a solution to that. I know that's a big problem, and it's not, you know, it's ongoing. It's not, you know, kind of immediate and dealing with the COVID-19, which it sounds like you guys are doing a fabulous job managing through this pandemic and crisis. While everybody else is kind of panicking over, you know, what are we going to do for 2 weeks? You guys have a whole lot more going on and a whole lot of other concerns.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we've tried to be very proactive at the very start of everything. We implemented the social distancing and the extra cleaning right away, and making sure that we've got the women and the children isolated into the individual rooms. Doing that has helped, and really talking amongst everyone and being open and honest has really helped decrease a little bit of the anxiety, making these times a little bit fun with how to review the hand washing techniques and everything to kind of relieve some of that added tension. It are some of the ways that staff have kind of tried to work through this with the clients. So yeah, we've really worked really hard to make the transition as smoothly as we possibly can. And I mean, we're not perfect. We'll make mistakes, but we are fixing anything that we have potentially might have done wrong. But yeah, so they're doing really, really well.
Well, you know, I don't think anyone is perfect, and I don't think anyone is handling this situation perfect, because it's been changing daily. You know, 2 weeks ago, we were worried that, oh my God, what are they going to do if they shut down schools? And now people are worrying about, you know, whether or not the borders interprovincially should be shut down. Like, it's escalated so quickly. I'm glad to hear that you guys have been so proactive, especially, you know, you talk about anxiety when you are living with, or especially leaving, because we all know, or I hope everybody knows, that the most dangerous time for a victim to leave an abusive relationship, or most dangerous time for a victim to be in an abusive relationship, is when she leaves. That's right. When there's the most danger. So that anxiety and fear is already there. So adding the stress of a pandemic is got to be over the top for these women, and good for you guys.
Yeah. It has been very extreme, but my frontline staff have been handling it very well. I know that they've had their moments, but I commend them for everything that they've been doing and helping implement while I'm self isolating. So yeah, I'm very, very proud to work with a group of people that I do. And I mean, going forward, we've had to, you know, be careful regarding our cleaning supplies, because there is a shortage of masks and hand sanitizer and gloves. So we're outreaching to every person, tattoo artist, anybody that we can find that will help us to maybe even donate like a box. Is really key for right now for us to be able to keep up the way that we've been handling everything. Everybody's experiencing their shortages, but unfortunately our shelters and our transitional housing seem to be not the first people that everyone thinks of. Yeah. So those are areas that we're really trying to work hard at getting our name out.
Well, I am.
We're not forgotten.
I am definitely thinking about you. And I was so happy when we were able to connect and set this up, because it's always been something that's been very close to my heart. And I was going to ask you created a great segue there, is how can we help? What is it that you need? So you need masks, gloves, sanitizer?
Yeah, hand sanitizer. We need bleach is always one item because we use that for.
Absolutely, yeah.
As well. Yeah. We're okay for certain items. We have had a hard time getting milk. We did get a donation received from a private citizen of milk recently. So those areas are okay, but it's the cleaning supplies. Our laundry tie pods or the no-name pods that you use for laundry are one item that we are also running low on.
So if someone had a donation of some of this product to bring, can they just drop it off on the doorstep of Meredith Place?
Yes. They could drop it off at the doorstep of Meredith Place, yeah, and just buzz in and let them know that it's there.
Perfect. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a call out on our social media. I was actually going to send this out in a couple different ways on the radio and Facebook and things like that. But I think what I'm going to do is, you guys need this stuff, and we know, as much as I wish this was not the truth, we know it's going to get worse before it gets better with this pandemic. And I'm hoping that I'm wrong, and I'm hoping that, you know, we wake up tomorrow and it's all over. But just in case it's not, and just in case those phone lines keep ringing for you guys as we get further into this, I want to make sure you have the supplies that you need to keep those women and those children safe, as well as your staff. Because if your staff gets sick, you know, I think that's one of those things that, you know, we don't give enough shout out to you guys on the front lines. It's like, if you guys get sick, everything falls apart. And we need to protect you as well as the residents so that you can keep doing the good work that you're doing. How are you feeling? Right. You're in self-isolation. Hopefully you're not ill. You're chomping at the bit to go back to work.
After Friday, I'm done my self-isolation. I probably will do still a lot of my work from home, but I will also go and visit, taking the proper protocols before I visit, so that I can let my staff know that I am still there. I'm always thinking of them. They're always on my mind. So that's my next steps on how I'll be working. And my staff, if one of our staff gets sick at one of our locations right now, we are concerned regarding how we will back up those positions, because we are we've really streamlined everybody right now. We're kind of using rotation of staff, but if anybody becomes ill, we will be potentially facing a problem.
Well, we're going to see what we could do to get you the supplies that you need, and I myself, I know that we shut down the escape room in Brandon. My son owns it and with my help. And we shut down over 2 weeks ago. But before we did that, we actually stocked up on hand sanitizer for our dispensers. So I'm going to go and head over there, head into Brandon, see what we have in stock. There might even be a whole case or at least the most of a case for you. And I will drop it off at Meredith House for you because obviously we don't need it since we're closed.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
And I mean, really hopefully that's a start and it's a help, but there's no sense keeping it sitting there in a closed business. And we don't know when we'll be able to reopen. So if you guys are needing it, it needs to go to people that are going to, you can't close down. We need you. These women and these children need you. And so if we can get you, so masks, gloves, hand sanitizers, bleach, milk, laundry pods, anything else? Like, is there, you know, financial resources that we can help with if we, you know, set up a fundraiser? Like, is there specifics or just those items that seem to be in short supply everywhere?
Those items that are in short supply anywhere would be wonderful to receive. Donations can be made through our website. We created a new website where you can go online and make a donation there.
Perfect.
Those financial ones are always welcomed and would be wonderful to receive because that does relieve some of the concerns that we have regarding fundraising. At this time, we are going to have the Women of Distinction fundraiser that was going to be held on May the 7th. We're currently working on rescheduling that, but we haven't gotten all those details worked out.
And your big walk is in May as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and our walk a mile, it happens as well. So there's some of our fundraising initiatives that we do may have to be postponed and or canceled. We haven't made any final decisions, but the financial support would be greatly appreciated during these times because everything's still up in the air and we're still unsure and we have to really figure out how we're going to deal with these events and activities going forward.
So. Well, and I think that's the reality, you know, and why I wanted to do this so much is and talk to you is because there are bigger things at play here than us, you know, complaining that we have to be at home for a couple weeks or that we can't get our hair colored. And those are the types of things that I'm seeing online, and it's frustrating, and it must be incredibly frustrating for you guys when you're looking at your major fundraisers potentially not happening and running out of these supplies that some people are hoarding. So I'm going to do what I can to get you as much help as I can. What is the website we can go to make a financial donation? Do you know what off the top of your head?
Yeah, I do. It's www.ywcabrandon.ca.
Perfect. All right. So I'm going to post all those links, see what we can do. And is there anything else that we can do to help you keep helping these women and children that are in need right now more than ever? And I want people to really understand that when we are saying, you know, and I'm very adamant, I say this every day, just stay home, everybody stay home. But when home isn't safe,
if home isn't safe, we're there to help them, and we will do our best to work with them to get into a safe place. So we are there. We are open. We are working hard to make sure that we will remain open. And, we just want to thank the community members who have stepped forward to help with donations of supplies and finances. We appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts. The women and children appreciate it, and they're very thankful that they're in a safe and healthy environment. So thank you, Michelle, for giving us the opportunity to use this forum to be able
Absolutely.
To make these requests and get the word out.
Well, I'll do my best. Like I said, I actually don't live in Brandon, but I'm going to head in there this afternoon and drop off what I can that we aren't using at our business that's not operational. Hopefully you guys can put it to use, and we will get you as much coverage as we can across our platform to see if we could get you as much help, supplies, finance, and awareness. And that's the big thing, is that if you need help, call. They will, you know, I don't ever, it terrifies me to think that someone is feeling isolated and alone and feels like because of this pandemic, they have no options and no help, because you guys are still there.
Yeah, we're still here. And that includes like towns like Burden, Neepawa, Minnedosa, Rivers, Carberry, Shiloh, Boys Bank, Deloraine, all of the Westman area. Yeah. We have a wide spread.
And that's important for people to know that this isn't just a city thing, that you guys are there for everyone and we can all help. Because if you have ever been in a situation where you felt unsafe or at risk, it's people like you guys that change lives. So thank you for still being there, and we'll see what we can do. So stay safe, stay healthy, stay away from everybody for at least another few days.
I will. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you for joining me. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. And keep sharing this. Keep sharing it. Keep sharing that information. And if you can help, either financially or with some of these products, drop them off at Meredith Place. Go to the website. Make a financial contribution. I know money is tight for a lot of people right now. But you know what? I'm sure we can all spare a few bucks for people who are a hell of a lot worse off than we are. So thank you once again, Heather, and I'll talk to everybody soon.
You've been keeping it real with Michelle Badusky. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
This is fun! The FU Network!